Anya stared down at the note, reading it for what seemed like the 100th time. Finally, she was offered at least one small piece of the puzzle.
Dear Anya, it's been a long time since we talked. Doesn't seem so long, though, because I've been busy. I even pulled a stint in the archives in Vatican City. I kept looking for the Da Vinci files, but I didn't find them. I did find something else that was interesting. I'm on my way to New York City, so I hope to see you soon. I left messages at the television studio, but you haven't called back. I guess you're busy. I hope you're not too busy to talk. I'll even buy dinner. I've got a lot to talk to you about. If you have time, could you authenticate this mosaic tile? Play fairly with it. The result should remind you of that bar in Haltwhistle. Remember, you can't always be cautious. Omelets don't get made without breaking eggs. Take care, Mario.
Ooh, do you want some more ice, Anya?
What? No, ow, ah.
Anya kept forgetting that shaking her head was a bad idea. After leaving the subway, they'd cabbed over to a Starbucks that offered Wi-Fi and television. Anya had immediately set to work on the internet, trying to find out about the mosaic, because it was the only thing she could think to do. Going to the Clark Hotel in Manhattan wasn't a good option at the moment. She planned to stake out the hotel later that evening to see if Mario went in or out. She couldn't just go up to the desk clerk and ask for Mario, especially if he was using another name. Nikolai set another coffee in front of her at the table they shared.
The swelling seems to have gone down.
It feels better. You could go home, you know.
I know. I'm going to have to soon. I've got a shift tomorrow and Mom is worried. I've already called her and talked to her, but until I walk through the door, she's not going to believe that I'm all right.
It must be nice to have a mom like that.
Oh, it is. It gets in my way sometimes, but for the most part, I really like having her there.
You don't know how lucky you are.
Oh, I do, trust me. So, what is this piece of art you have?
It's a mosaic.
Anya picked it up and showed it to him. It was square, each side measuring 12 inches.
It's made up of individual pieces called tesserae that are glued to a background. In this instance, the background is glazed ceramic. When early civilizations first started making mosaics thousands of years ago, people just used stones. Later, they began chipping marble and limestone into cube shapes and using them.
Looks like a lot of work.
The tesserae are laid out in 24 rows by 24 rows.
So that's like a lot of tesserae.
576 pieces.
Is that normal?
I've seen walls 2 and 3 stories tall laid with tesserae. There isn't a set amount to use. You use what you want to, whatever amount that might be.
This one looks like glass.
It is. That was the next medium artisans started using after they got tired of stones, marble, and limestone.
Is this a dog?
It is. You can see here that the dog is standing braced on all fours, frozen in mid-bark. It's what they call a cave canem image.
Oh, that's Latin.
Yes. The loose translation is beware of the dog. Tiles like these were often set into the thresholds of Roman houses.
People have signs on their houses and yards that say that now. I bet they don't know that the Romans started that.
Probably not.
So this Mario sent you this tile as a warning?
He says he wanted me to authenticate it.
Could it be worth a lot of money?
No, I'm pretty sure it's not. It's good work, but it's not unique enough to be worth much.
Maybe it's worth a lot because of the person who did this, like a famous painter or someone.
The tile's almost brand new.
Then I'm confused.
Yes, so am I.
What are you going to do?
Stake out the Clark Hotel and hope that Mario shows up. It won't hurt for Bart McGilly to return my call, either.
He's the police guy, right?
Homicide detective, yes.
Did you catch the news break earlier?
About the guys at the Cyber Games place? No.
They got away. So did the guys on the subway train.
So they're still out there.
There has to be a reason he sent you this. You couldn't find the clue in the letter? Didn't he mention finding something hidden at the Vatican?
Not everything involves the Roman Catholic Church trying to cover up some dreadful, earth-shattering secret. Usually, people in power do things for their own good, to protect or benefit themselves.
So why are these guys after you and the tile? To protect themselves or for their benefit?
I don't have a clue.
But you must. That's why Mario sent you this tile.
Then he's going to have to explain it to me.
She plucked her cell phone up from the table and checked the caller ID. She smiled to herself, feeling relieved.
Bart.
Are you doing okay?
I'm fine.
I heard there were a number of incidents you were involved in today.
I tried to call you.
You could have come in.
There were things I had to do.
Like turn Brooklyn into a shooting gallery? Or get involved in the fights at the cyber cafe and in the subway?
It's been a busy day. Now that I think about it, maybe I don't have time for this phone call.
Trust me, you need to take this phone call. You know a guy named Mario Fellini?
Yes.
Let me send a car for you.
No. Just tell me where you are. I can take the subway and it'll be faster.
There's a hotel, the Clark Hotel. Heard of it?
Yes. I heard he might be there, actually.
Come there. And Anya.
Yes?
If you don't, I'm gonna have you picked up.
That's not very friendly.
I'm not in a friendly mood, Anya. Get here as quick as you can, okay?
I'm coming now.
Problem?
This is where we part ways, Nikolai. I have to go see the police.
What about?
I'm not sure. Bart wants me to come to the Clark Hotel.
Where Mario is supposed to be.
Yes.
And this guy, Bart, he's a homicide detective?
Yes, Nikolai.
That can't be good.
Anya gathered her things, slid them into her backpack, and headed for the door. Irena Skuyans hid in the darkness outside the castle walls. She wore black clothing under a black cloak that absorbed the pale moonlight bleeding through the jagged clouds. If not for the snow-covered ground, the darkness of the forest and the night would be complete. This would have been preferable to her, because then she would have been able to approach the castle without fear of being seen. With her long black hair pulled back, only her pale features would have given her away. She carried a crossbow and arrows tipped with special forces blades that were designed to penetrate Kevlar body armor. In the few years that passed since she'd left the village where her grandmother had raised her, she'd had occasion to use other crossbows. None had ever failed her. Besides the crossbow, the quiver of bolts lashed to her left thigh, and the combat knife sheathed down her right calf, Irena also carried the weapons her grandmother had trained her to use. If the man she hunted now had grown up in her village, her warning alone would have sent him away. Instead, Wolfram Schluter had chosen to defy her, and worse still, gone after Mario. Irena was still angry over the way that Mario had left without telling her. Irena had thought he trusted her above anyone else. But he had gone to New York City in pursuit of the American woman, Anya Creed. Irena wouldn't have known that if she hadn't checked Mario's computer and discovered that he'd been looking for the woman online. Then she'd remembered how Mario had talked about her, about how he got the small scar above his eye. What made it even worse was that Mario had tried to hide his internet searching. He didn't know much about computers, and there had been no way for him to know how much she knew. Getting the woman's cell phone number had been expensive. Irena still had contacts who could hack into credit reports and dig up personal information. Irena now knew more about Anya Creed than Mario had when he'd left. The emotion that Irena felt about the American woman surprised her. In all her life, she'd never felt jealous, not even once. There had been many men in her life. Some she had used and discarded, and others she'd broken in the pursuit of her own goals. In the end, though, none of them had mattered. But Mario Fellini did. He had placed himself in danger, crossing a very dangerous man, and Irena was going to do everything she could to protect him. The only way to accomplish this was to get rid of Wolfram Schluter. She watched the castle for a short time, making sure she had the guards' pattern down. The castle was less than 20 miles outside of Riga. The location gave relatively quick access to the capital, as well as several other cities throughout the country, and this was precisely why Schluter had purchased it. The private road that led to the castle began at the wrought iron gates manned by Schluter's men. All of them were professional soldiers, battle-hardened men who didn't hesitate when it came to killing. She'd killed one of them days earlier. A car had attempted to run Mario off the road near her grandmother's village. That was the first time she and Mario had known that Schluter had tracked them there. Before that, Schluter had focused his search in Riga. That incident had changed her relationship with Mario. For the last 3 days before Mario had gone to New York, there had been almost nothing between them. It was as if she had died, not the man who had been trying to kill them. Bright lights flared behind her. Irena leaned in closer to the shadows under the boughs of the spruce tree. A luxury car, the kind that took Schluter back and forth to Riga, rolled up the private road. It stopped momentarily at the gates, then the guards opened them. The car continued up the road to the circular drive in front of the house. Throwing off the black cloak and kicking off her snow boots, Irena proceeded in only the thick socks and skin-tight black suit she'd purchased from a dealer in military surplus earlier that week. She held the crossbow in one hand and sprinted toward the nearest wall, expecting to hear a guard cry out. No one did. She reached the wall and ran close to it, heading toward the back of the castle. Schluter had installed guards and an electronic surveillance system, but not motion detectors or dogs, the two most difficult systems for an assassin to overcome. The back wall was 14 feet high, but the stones were irregularly spaced. Irena sought out hand and footholds and attacked the wall, swarming up it as quickly as a squirrel racing up an oak tree. At the top, she clutched the crossbow in close to her body, checked to make sure none of the perimeter guards were there, and rolled over the edge of the wall. Effortlessly, Irena landed on her feet. She had the crossbow in her hands, ready to fire, but she was in motion at once, sprinting through the fruit trees.